Billionaire money manager John Paulson said the best investment you can make as an individual is in your home. He says as an individual, it's the greatest investment because you know for the next 30 years, if you do a 30-year mortgage, that you know how much it's going to cost you every month. And he says if you rent, your rent always goes up. And he says with today's money market, mortgage rates, you can own cheaper than you can rent. You know, I guess that's probably great advice. But you know, we all, in the back of our minds, hope that someday when we get to the part in our life that we need all the investments that we've invested in, that they are good and solid and they're there. I'm going to tell you a story today, a parable that Jesus told about money. And it's used in talents, and there are four things that we're going to learn from it. It's a very simple parable and one you've heard many times. It's taken from Matthew chapter 25. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his slaves and trusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to one another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Now, it'd be much easier if Jesus would have said, he gave one guy $100,000, he gave one guy $20,000, he gave one guy $10,000. Maybe that's the easiest way for us to look at it, but a talent was a measure, a unit of measure. It's about 75 pounds, and its wealth depended upon if it was silver or gold or what it was in. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the unmerciful servant and the one talent, the attic talent, was worth 6,000 days labor for the average person. 6,000 days he would have to work. And this was a very large sum of money that he entrusted to his servants. And notice that he gave them out according to their abilities. One guy, he says, here is $100,000, you invest it. Another guy, he says, here is $40,000. You invested. To another, he says, here's $10,000. He recognized that all people are not the same. We're not all born with the same abilities. He knew, he looked at his servants, he knew them, he knew what they could do, and he says, this is what I entrust with you. See, you and I are all born with different characteristics and abilities. Let's be honest. Not everyone is going to grow up to be president of the United States. Not everyone is going to be at Carnegie Hall. Not everyone is going to be an NBA player. Not everyone is going to be a millionaire. Not everyone is going to have, you know, a variety of opportunities. Some are born with greater opportunities than others. God never created us with all the same abilities or the same opportunities, but we're all created in the image of God. God doesn't love some people more than others. He loves us all. And when Jesus is telling this parable, he says the guy gave him the money, but he didn't tell him how to invest it. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who had received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. You know, that's 100% return. Invest $100,000, get $100,000 back. Now, that's a great investment. Invest $40,000, get $40,000 in return. And the one guy, he just kind of, you know, he just kind of hid his money. We're going to say give him the benefit of the doubt as we start. He was just maybe afraid of losing the money. And he says he dug a hole and buried the money. As we have noticed in our parables, that's not in common. Many times they would bury their wealth because in their homes it was easy to break in and armies came through. And they would dig a hole and they knew where it was. And when they needed it, they would go and dig his wealth up. Now that wouldn't work for me because I can't find my glasses around the house. And if I buried Pat's money, we'd just be out of luck. There's no way in the world that I would find it. But we're going to say that he just put his money under the mattress and he slept on it every night. And he just knew that it was safe. And then the man came to settle the accounts. And now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and bought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained more talents. In all the parables, Jesus told us that there's a time of settling accounts. There's a time the master comes. There's a time that Jesus returns and he will settle the accounts. And what happened was, you know, the master says, let me see what you've done for my money. Show me what you have got. And in the two-talent man, he says, look. And what happened was, the five-talent and the two-talent guy says, here's the money you gave me. And I can imagine him, you know, taking the other bag of coins and laying it on the table and says, start counting. I want you to see what I did for you. I want you to see what I was able to accomplish. And you know, it's a little bit like the kid who gets off the bus and it's report card day. And he comes in the house and he flies through and he says, look at this. Mom and Dad, look at what I accomplished at school. He has that excitement. And both of them said to the master, start counting. Start counting the money that I've given. Look at what I have done. And look what the master says. Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of my master. The guy who had had five talents got five more. Come on in. Let's have a great time. The man who'd got the two talents and he got two more. Come on in. Let's have a great time. Yeah, but there's a one talent guy. It didn't work for him. In fact, when it come to, you know, kind to check and see what was happening, he said, boss, you're too hard. You're too difficult. I was afraid that if I tried something. Listen to what he said. Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. He says, you're hard. You didn't put the effort out and you wanted a return on the money. You're not the one planting the seed. You're not the one raising the crop. He said, I took the safe approach. I protected your money. It's all here. And I can imagine he dug it up and he dusted off the dust and he laid it on the table and says, this is yours. I didn't lose 1 cent. I didn't lose anything that you gave me. Nothing was wasted. And almost, he wants the master to pat him on the back because of his poor performance. I protected everything that you have. I didn't lose anything. Now, we took the high road and said he was afraid and fearful and maybe he'd make a mistake. But the master says, that's not your heart. He says, you're a lazy man. But his master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank and my rival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. What happened was he misrepresented the master and the master's heart. He said, you're hard, you're difficult, and you can't be pleased. And the master says, no, you're lazy. In a most general sense, this was the Pharisees and the scribes. They took the law of God and they put a box around it. They put a fence around it so that no one, you know, it would always be there and they never had an opportunity for it to grow and to change people's lives. And then he punishes them. For everyone who has, more shall be given. And he would have an abundance. But the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now I want to share with you 4 lessons for us today. The first one was this. God gives us different gifts. Different spiritual gifts. Each one of you has a spiritual gift given the moment that you were saved. Peter says, as each one has received a special gift, employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He says, everyone has a spiritual gift. If you're saved this morning, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, then you have a spiritual gift the Holy Spirit gave to you at that moment. You have that capacity to serve God. It's serving God, it's His church, it's helping the body of Christ. We all have a gift. Every one of us. Like these three men, we all don't have the same spiritual gifts. In fact, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What it means is, my spiritual gift is for your good. Your spiritual gift is for my good. We all have spiritual gifts. At the moment that you were saved, you have a gift. Now, I can't decide what spiritual gift I'm to have. A lot of people think, well, you know, I'm going to pray for God to give me that spiritual gift. The moment I was saved, at an early age that I was saved, God's Holy Spirit chose what He wanted me to do to minister to Him, this congregation. He chose me for what He wanted me to do. There's a lot of things that I would, a lot of talents I wish God had given me. But God didn't give me that. I had no choice in it. You have no choice in it. It's what the Holy Spirit decides. And see, sometimes in a local church, and probably not this church, but we get jealous of those who have flashy gifts or flashy talents. We really do. But it's just very foolish. Paul says, it's like your foot being jealous of your hands. You say, well, that, you know, we both have different jobs to do. We both have different things to do. See, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. You have a spiritual gift. The moment you were saved, the Holy Spirit says, I give you this gift to serve the kingdom of God. And that's in the local church. The second thing we know is that God expects no more of us than we can do. Did you notice that the five-talent man got five more talents or 100,000, he had 100% return? And the guy who had the 40,000, he had 100% return? Did you know that the two-talent man got the same reward as the five-talent man? He didn't ask the two-talent man to do any more. He wouldn't have asked the one-talent man to do any more than what was expected. He's given us abilities, but we have different abilities. He's given us opportunities according to each ability, and that is in the church. This week I was driving down to the post office, and as I was going down, I watched this guy about my age walking. He was walking on the sidewalk, as people do down here all the time, and he just stopped, you know, stopped there and had his hat off and looking at the road. And I came back, and he'd got a little bit down the road when I got back to the post office, and he was stopped drinking a bottle of water. And I thought to myself, that's not much walking. And then it hit me. Well, if I was walking on the sidewalk, I know I could outwalk that dude. I know I could. And then I'd have some young person who would leave me in the dust. And you know what I thought about? Walking depends upon doing all you can do. That's how it's measured. It's not the Olympic athlete or the Ironman athlete. It's what you are capable of doing. It took a visit, and it took me driving down the road and watch a guy doing that for me to understand. It's what you can do. Now, teenagers, if you want to drive your parents nuts, if you want to keep them up all night long, you just have great abilities and do nothing with it. That drives us nuts as parents. It does. So if you want to get them, that's all you have to do. Is it possible that God goes, I've given you all these things and all these abilities and you're doing nothing with them? I think it's very possible. See, it's not how much you have, it's what you do with what you have. That's the whole thing of the parable. See, the greatest thing, you know, the good thing about it is, you're not going to judge me, or you shouldn't judge me based upon my spiritual gifts. God is the judge. He's the one who has judged our spiritual gifts and how well we do it. Now, here's the third thing we learn. The man who is punished is the man who doesn't try. The man who doesn't try is the man who is punished. How many of you, don't raise your hands, do to-do list? Every now and then, to get on focus, I have to do a to-do list. I have this pad and I write all these things out. And you know what I found out? When I begin to write things out, I accomplish so much more. I can look back and say, you know what? I've accomplished these things. But you know, sometimes we're afraid. We just don't do things. You know? And sometimes it's a temptation to say, you know what? This church doesn't need me. Now, if you're our guest this morning, I hope when you came in, someone greeted you with a smile and they gave you a bulletin and they pointed you in the right direction and did all the things you're supposed to do. We hope, you know, we try to do that every day for all of us. And you say, you know what, Ron, it's going smooth. You don't need me. That's not what God says. God says, find your niche. Do those things. Just step out. See, we have to have the courage to secede. Stephen, Job says, if you're afraid of failing, you won't get very far. Do you know that we're raising a generation of individuals who are afraid to fail? The millennials, if you have a son or daughter born between 1982 and 2002, they're described as a generation by Howe and Strauss as risk averse. As a result, solely lacking in creativity. They're so afraid to make a mistake that they live in the box more than we ever lived in the box. Sometimes as Christians, we're afraid to make a mistake. We're afraid if we do something, it may not work out. But you know what? God equipped you for great things. When you have that spiritual gift, He gave you that spiritual gift, and in that spiritual gift brings you great joy. You talk to somebody who's serving, and they will tell you, deep down inside, they have great joy. They have great joy in serving God. See, we want to do great things for God, but we can't get off the sideline and do the little things. See, never miss out on the opportunity to serve. I'll share something with you and you'll probably think it's foolish. But I was down to the Georgia National Fairgrounds several years ago, and I was watching some 70s group. You know, I just love that rock and roll stuff. And we were watching it, and I was watching people dance and do all kinds of stuff. And you know what I come to think? If I could live my life over again, I'd learn to dance and enjoy life more. See, I have this fear of looking, you know, making a fool of myself. And that's a real fear. But I thought, if I'd have learned to dance early, wouldn't that have been okay? I know you may have some theological things with that, but that's okay. I'll just give you that one. But do you know the joy I missed out on? Because I didn't. And I was afraid to. And guys, I'm afraid to do it now. I'm really afraid of it now. But what would it be in life if you and I just missed out on the joy of serving our Father? We spent all of our life because we're afraid of making a mistake. And I watch people dancing at the fairgrounds, and I think I could do that well. But guess what? They did it. I'm too afraid to. Jesus says, and Paul says, there's a day of reckoning. And someday as believers, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3 that you and I are going to give an account of all the things we've done. It will be checked. Here's the fourth thing. He tells us the reward of work well done is still more work to be done. Do you notice the guy that had the five talents and had a great success? Take that one talent and give it to that guy. He's doing a lot of good stuff. Just give it to him and let him do some more. Here's the universal principle that Jesus says. You either lose what I get, you either use it or you lose what I've given you. For everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. We have some people in our congregation who many years ago played the guitar. And they'll tell you, in order for me to get on stage and play, I would have to practice a lot and my hands would hurt. Take an Olympic athlete. He takes 6 months off. He goes back, he doesn't compete at the same level. Take your baseball players. Years ago, they used to take all season off, and now your football players and all your professional athletes, they stay in tune all year long. They keep working at it. Take a person who plays the piano. Haven't played the piano in 4 or 5 years. They're not the same person. If you want to see how it really affects us, take about 3 weeks off from the gym or 3 weeks off from walking at your house. And after 3 weeks off, you go back and you'll think, my heart's going to fall out. I've never done this before. Jesus says, I've given you opportunities. How many of you have had marvelous opportunities to minister to a person and you were afraid. I look back over my life. I look over a life at a time I had something to bless a person. And for some reason, I didn't. That opportunity will never come. It'll never come again. And what Jesus is telling us, I've given you opportunities. I've given you an opportunity to serve me. See, undeveloped relationships fall by the wayside if we don't use them. I just have to have enough faith that the Holy Spirit was correct when He gave me the spiritual gift. I've got to make it happen. Now I'm going to give you an application. We're going to go home. We are a talented congregation. We are a very talented congregation. I'm just blessed to be your pastor. For everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. God expects much from us as a congregation. He expects us to do a lot. And we want to do something that's kind of unusual. We've done something like it before. But I want you to minister to people. First Family Share. Our leadership talked about it, and we decided that God has blessed us tremendously. We weren't unable to go on a mission trip this year for a lot of reasons. And we set aside some money for that. And we want to use $5,000 for you to minister to people. It's not the leadership doing it. It's you. You have a card. And we want you to think about it and pray about it. And the way it works is this. You meet a need in a person's life. We have a couple people who are going to simply look at the needs and help us, you know, help work it all out. But if you have a neighbor who you know has a special need, we want you to meet that need. Don't tell us. We want you to do it. We'll give you the money back, or we'll give the money to you in advance. And if you have a special need in your life that the only way it's going to be met is through God, then you put your name down and you put what that need is and how much it is, and you drop it in the box that we have in the back. And we're going to do this for 2 or 3 weeks. School teachers, if you have a little kid coming to your school and they don't have shoes, or you talk to the counselor on how to meet that need, and you meet that need, we're going to give you the money to do it. We want you to meet that need. If you know a person who's struggling, an elderly person who doesn't have food, you just say, hey, listen, I want to go down and buy them $50 worth of food, or I want to buy them a gift card. Then you go down there and you put it on there. We're going to give you the money. And you take it to them. Now, you have all these little iPhones. You take all kinds of pictures and stuff. When you're shopping, I want you to take a picture. Take a selfie. Because we want to show people what you're doing. Now, here's something you cannot ask. Are they worthy? Don't ask that question. Are you worthy of God's grace? No. You're not worthy of God's grace. It was a gift given to us. This is God ministering to people. And it means that you may have a coworker, and they've had a horrible time. They had to replace tires on their car, and you know they struggle from paycheck to paycheck. Do you want to buy them tires? Buy them tires. Pay electricity? Pay electricity. I want you to minister to people. And you're going to have to think outside the box, friends. You are God's family. God has blessed our church. We want to use this $5,000 to minister to people in Middle Georgia. We're going to do it until the money runs out. You may have a family friend who's really hurting. And you may help them. Or somebody who can't go to the dentist. Or can't go to the eye doctor. And you know it. You just arrange for it to happen. Just let us know so we can help you with it. I want to honor God as a family. Will you stand with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, we believe that you have richly blessed us at First Christian Church. Father, you have blessed us with people who have great talents. And Father, we have for everyone who has a spiritual gift. We thank you. And Father, help us as individuals to just learn to serve you. And Father, I ask now that you bless our First Family Share. Father, I think that you have people in mind that you want to be helped. May we not be timid, Father. May we not be unafraid. For Father, it's your money. Let us minister to them in your name. Give us great courage, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.